Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft. Today we are studying Malachim Aleph Perek Dalet. This is actually a very short perek and seems really at first glance to be merely a list of names of Shlomo's Sarim, his ministers. But there are a few things we can glean from this list about Malchut Shlomo, about Shlomo's kingdom, if we focus on several of its details. The first of Shlomo's Sarim listed in this perek is Azariyahu ben Tzadok HaKohen, who was one of the Kohanim, one of the priests of Shlomo's time period. And this is noteworthy because when compared to the list of David's Sarim listed in Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, we find that Yoav, David's army's chief of staff, is listed first. And this difference very clearly demonstrates the contrast between David's and Shlomo's kingdom. Firstly, David was much more focused on the development and implementation of military might, national security. He had to. He was fighting wars in order to secure his country's borders. And therefore, it makes sense that his primary officer, meaning the officer that tops his list of officers, was the one in charge of his army. Shlomo, on the other hand, did not have to worry about national defense or security, as he had inherited his father's very secure borders, thanks to David's kingdom's military strength. And therefore, Shlomo was able to direct the focus of his kingdom inward, to develop the country economically and, of course, spiritually. Shlomo's primary royal effort was the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore his primary officer, i.e. the officer that tops his list of officers, was his Kohen. Next, after the list of Shlomo's Sarim, we're told that Shlomo divided the country into 12 economic areas, with each area funding the king and his government for 1 month out of the year. So this is a kind of tax. We would have expected this division, right? If Shlomo's dividing Eretz Yisrael into 12 areas, we would have expected the division to be based on the Shvatim and their Nachalot, which, you know, we've been using that division until now, certainly in Sefer Yoshua and Sefer Shoftim. The tribal divisions are very, very clearly intact. However, here we actually find that only 5 out of the 12 geographic areas that Shlomo taxed are related to the division of the Nachalot, whereas the other 7 are completely unrelated to the Nachalot. Rav Nachum Liebtag suggests that this might demonstrate Shlomo's attempt to break down the nation's tribal setup and unify the country into one larger federal unit with one unified army, one unified economic system, etc. And so it's possible that this redivision represented Shlomo's attempt at unity. However, it may have led to some of the unrest that we'll see at the end of his melucha. It might have led to discontent because the people really did prefer perhaps their tribal divisions, and Shlomo's attempt to get rid of them might not have made the people too happy. We'll see that in a few prakim when Shlomo's melucha is transferred to his son and there's political discontent. What's interesting in this discussion of the tribal divisions and the, or lack of tribal divisions, but the countries being separated into 12, is that there's one Shevet in the entire list of tax colonies that is not specified. The only Shevet not listed as having to pay the tax is Shevet Yehuda. And there are several Parshanim who interpret Yehuda's lack of mention here as demonstrating Shlomo's having excused his own Shevet from paying taxes. This would have been a blatant display of favoritism for Shlomo's own Shevet and could further explain some of the political unrest revolving around taxes that we'll see at the beginning of his son's reign, Rehavam's reign, in Perek Yud Bet. Finally, at the end of Perek Dalet, after the description of Shlomo's economic strategy, we're told that Bnei Yisrael has become as many as the chol al hayam, as the sand upon the sea. And therefore, with this conclusion to Perek Dalet, we see that Hashem's promise to Avraham that his descendants will become as numerous as the sand has in fact been fulfilled during Malchut Shlomo. In contrast, in 2 of the 3 last mentions of this phrase in Tanakh, it was referring actually to Bnei Yisrael's enemies, intimidating numbers. For example, in Yoshua Perek Yud Aleph, this phrase of being compared to Chol Asher Al Hayam was referring to the northern Canaanite kings whom Yoshua had to conquer. And in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, the same phrase that people are being compared to Chol Asher Al Hayam was referring to the Plishtim against whom Shaul had to fight. The fact that now this phrase of that people are compared to Chol Asher Al Hayam is referring to Bnei Yisrael themselves and not their enemies, is one indication of many that Bnei Yisrael have really reached their apex during Shlomo's reign. This description of Shlomo's large numbers also serves as an appropriate segue to Perek Hey, which we'll see tomorrow, will describe the large sums of many, many other things in addition to the people themselves, but many, many things that Shlomo's kingdom acquired and enjoyed, which serves to really further our impression of the heights to which Malchut Shlomo soared. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.